You know, that's not a honor the Lord with your bodies. Honor the Lord with your regular paycheck. Honor the Lord with the stock market goes up. And I'm going to throw this out. This is a pretty catchy thing to get through. But honor the Lord when the stock market goes down. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with what you have. You know, that is something that your bars will be filled to overflowing and your bags will bring overflow with your life. And that's what the Lord says to you. Okay? Honor the Lord. Here's the reason why I believe this is such an important priority in our life. Because when I take that which tends to be more precious to me from an earthly perspective, and I honor the Lord back with that which He gives me, it gives me the rightful place in my heart, it gives me the rightful place in my mind, it gives me the rightful place in my life, it gives me the rightful place in my heart. The great thing about this, when we practice worship, is that I get to see God work in ways that I've never thought He would do. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, He doesn't stop there in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, God talks to us about our wealth. God gives us some thoughts here as to how we are to handle these things. One man gives freely, verse 24 says, yet gains even more. Another withholds a duly but comes to poverty. So on one hand, you have a guy that's giving back what God has given. And it's not just back to the Lord, but the concept is the Lord is very free with his money. To bless others that are in need. One man gets freely, yet gains more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper. He refreshes others. I love this. Will himself be refreshed. I believe that there's a lot of people out there that need to be refreshed. But one of the ways that we are refreshed is when we honor the Lord with our wealth, when we are able to see another in need, and the word that is used, generous, that the generous man will prosper. Not somebody just hoards his wealth, not somebody just sits on his wealth, but somebody that can take it. But here is what I'm not talking about, just being foolish with that money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ability to be generous. Now, I think that comes in a lot of different areas. I think we are generous when we prepare meals for people in our congregation that need it. I know at BFC, it's really appreciative of all those that step in and get the gap and say, we're going to help. Many of you have been blessed by their generosity. And I will tell you this, and I think that what you see is true, and it is also true, that, you know, when you get to change your heart, not because you have to, because you want to. Because God's word says, you know, here is the money that I give you, here's the treasures that I give you, here's your talents that I give you, here's the time that I give you. And when you invest those in others, it has a way to come back and go, wow, this is really pretty cool. I'm blessed. Because I've been able to be a blessing to others. Now, one by one, I had a public Jesus meeting as a church over this one object. How to receive a blessing. Do you know how many of you speak of receiving blessings? I speak of receiving a blessing. Okay? Because we always like to be in the blessing giving perspective. Amen? I mean, let's be honest. God, I just want to bless your life. No, I don't need anything. Yes, you do. Now, let's be a blessing. And sometimes, you know, we have to have an open to Jesus meeting where we're ready. Let's bless you. We're going to be blessed for us. Right? Because one thing is, the closer I get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more those, and he refreshes others for himself to be refreshed. Let me just tell you the principle here. We can't outgive God. If anything we do, we cannot outgive God. Now, once you think I'm this well-health and prosperity gospel guy, I'm not, I don't believe that $10 given in the offering plate today is $10, you know, that you're in the restaurant today. And what they're saying, Kelly, I don't understand math. I do not understand God's math. What I know is that when I honor God, I can't outgive Him. But regardless of how much I try, and I can also tell you this, but that does not mean financial backing necessarily. In other words, I don't go to my remember, I wish this was true, but the pastor of Corey House would gift me $1 million. Does anybody want anything from public security? $5,000 for life. Is that a week? Okay, you tell me when that first bet comes. But God has a way to bless us. And I don't understand what that means. That's greater than me. God has an economy that I cannot comprehend. All I know is that I need to be faithful to God in my home. Proverbs 13:11 gives us another concept about this stewardship principle. It says that this honest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Meanwhile, there is this concept in our society that money changes everything. And money is the answer to everything. And I will tell you that money does change everything. Go back, you want a very sobering reality check. Go back and Google the lives of the lotto winners. What happens to people that come into that kind of money that way? Look at some of the football players, basketball players, you know, baseball players. Is it just weird that people get, do they get worse after they sign a big deal to contract? God says in His Word, it's better to get it little by little than the kind of to get it by dishonest means. Because the same way you get it, the same way you lose it, Proverbs 13:22 says, thus a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wrath is stored up for them. And at the same time, we're to give to God, we're also make sure that we are investing wisely and that we are protecting what God has given us so that we can be a blessing to generations after generations after generations. And that's been kind of hard in the generation that I live in. I'm 47 years old and under. The traditional way of gaining wealth is kind of, I don't know, the stock market crashes every day, it's the Bible. But here's what I'm teaching you today. It's not about the stock market. It's about investing in the people of God. If you leave some phenomenal inheritance to your children with your finances are in proper order. That proper order means that we honor God. Our children need to see that. Proverbs 22:9 says this, a generous man will himself be blessed, but he shares his food with the poor. In other words, this man, when it comes to that practice of stewardship, he looks for ways to bless other people's lives. He looks for ways to assign people and to be able to help them. Now, one of the things that I see in our society is that there are plenty of ways to help people that God places on your heart. There are many good causes for you to give
Don't worry about it. I'm doing all this stuff. What matters to God is whether or not I'm blameless before Him. That I'm honoring Him, honoring Him in the right things. That I'm putting forth the correct things in order that God tells me to put in. Whatever. Proverbs 28:20, just a few verses later, says that the faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will have no punishment. Proverbs 28:22, just a few verses later, a stingy man is eager to get rich, but he is unaware that poverty awaits him. In other words, the concept of being generous when you're stingy, Proverbs tells me that the goal that I really have to get rich is the goal that offers a little luxury. Because the stingy man is eager to get rich and he is unaware that poverty awaits him. The true way that he will be wealthy, the true way to really be rich, and I'm not talking about finances, but it's the difference in what we do with what God gives us. Because what I found to be true in my life is that as we were faithful with little, God began to give us a little bit more. And a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And the more that we got, the more we were able to be generous with. And the more we have been able to be generous with. And it doesn't matter where we first got paid, we was $5 an hour. I followed up at 3:30 that morning. And we were finished. Like I said, I don't understand that. Seriously, I don't understand that. I think that's really cool. But I don't have to understand it with God. Just to be able to come. Proverbs 28:27 says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them will be gracious. Next time God says the word Proverbs, God sees those who know, sees these. The same thing, the same concept in Proverbs 28:27. And I love this verse, and Proverbs 28, most people don't get the blessing of the sage of Hagar, but in Proverbs 30:7, and I believe in the practice of stewardship, this verse is just as good as it could be our protection. It says, if you think to ask of you, O Lord, do not receive me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me only my daily bread, God. Help me be faithful. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still focus on God. What did Hagar want? He wanted to just, if I dare say it, be middle class. You know, God, just give me what I need. God, just help me to be satisfied in you. Because, God, it's ultimately about you. I don't want to be rich and miss you, and I don't want to be poor and disown you. God, I want to have a proper perspective of what it means to be a good steward of your word. Help me be faithful in the little things or the big things. But, God, help me to be content in whatever you give me. I want you to understand that I believe that why the priority of stewardship is so important children need us to show them and to demonstrate our spirit, our thanksgiving to the Lord. God, you've given me this. This comes from you. Thank you. I am giving this back to you. The second thing that it does is it also keeps our family dependent on God. Listen, stewardship should not be a husband and wife decision or a choice or activity. I believe that stewardship should be a whole family perspective. Because we are to teach generations behind us how to be thankful for what God has given, how to rely on God. And if I'm giving God the first step of everything that I have, it's not always easy writing a check. But I will tell you, when you understand the greatness and grandeur of God, because you have proven faithful over and over and over to be Jehovah Jireh, a God that provides, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to have another kingdom. It's a lot easier to fight your name. It's a lot easier to give to your church. It gets a lot easier to give to mission. It makes it a lot easier to hear about the report. God, this is crazy. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I want to be honored to you, and I want to be thankful for what you've done to me. And so, God, as I give this to God, help me be dependent on you. I can tell talking about money to pay for this. But it's not the job. It's not the government. It's not the parents. So you may be asking, what would you tell us to do? What should I do? Pastor, you don't understand my dad. You're right, I don't. You also don't understand the guy that was a child all the time. The quickest way to get out of debt, because we've been there in times, is to continue drawing more with our first fruit. You want your family to be solid on the knowledge, strong foundation. Honor the Lord with your first fruit supply because it creates in our home a spirit of thanksgiving and it generates in our home a spirit of dependence upon the Lord. And in doing so, it leaves a legacy for generations. You want to know how you can help these children know that God is here. You practice stewardship in your home. God, this is crazy. Because I want to tell you something. You know, you're going to put your mom and I in our data now because this is what we're about to do. And we're going to trust God. I had a conversation not long ago with you. I'm not talking about testing God in a cynical way. I'm saying, Lord, I complete your word and complete value. It's kind of like in that movie, Peace of the Giants. Like the dad at the end of the show, and he was waiting for that son to be dedicated to him. There's another line in the movie. It's like, what are you doing? You know, people are kind of expecting him to be grateful. regards, I would say that I think are one of the biggest ways that people struggle with the most. The place where I'm quiet about the town, and I'm not going to be able to go to the right now. I know it's hard, but I can't stop it. It's bad enough that I was being this. I'm trying to be honest. I didn't know I had this burden to carry, too, speak up. Thank you.